Amen and amen. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us safe as we slept through the night and for blessing everyone on the other side of the world with safety as well. Thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance, all that will be coming in here in a few moments as well. And thank you for blessing this service in a special way with your presence, because after study we are going to have the supper as your Son guided us and taught us to do. Please bless us with the forgiveness of sin. Please cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we are worthy, Father, let the latter rain fall upon us so that we can go forth and do as your prophecy says your people will do. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, especially those that are recently jumped off the path. And Father, we pray that you keep somewhat of a glimmer of light to let them see their way home so they get back on the path. And thank you for blessing us this day in whatever way you see fit, and for giving us that which we need to go forth and proclaim the loud cry. And we offer this prayer out to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, as well as our commander in this holy war. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen. Okay, let me turn on the fan. Hold on. It's going to be 105 heat index today. Yeah, it's not comfortable. So we'll have to bring the kitties in. It's too warm for them. Too much humidity. So. All right. Let me see here. All right. I want to welcome some of the new people down there. Christopher, Emily, George, Larry, and Walter. And I think that's... And Missy. Missy just came in, too. So I want to welcome you all. Sabbath blessings. And seeing as you're new, if you want to follow along with the study, the notes are right underneath the chat room. Or you can just click the where it says on top, Sabbath study. You click that. It'll bring you down to the notes. You'll still be in the chat room. It just scrolls down instantly. That's all it does. All right. Question number 13. The question is, for several generations, how long did men live? Now, a lot of people have an issue with this, but before we get into that, Genesis chapter 5, verse 8 says, "And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And all the days of Mahalalel were 890 and 5 years, and he died. Jared, 960 and 2 years, and he died. And Methuselah, the longest living man, 969 years, and he died." And from what I understand, Methuselah was alive during Noah's day, and he helped him and his family with the ark. But then, like many people that were ready to gain heaven, but not able to handle the trial of going in the ark, were allowed to die before the flood hit. Just like we're seeing now with a lot of strange deaths that are happening around the world. I'm not talking about the martyrdoms. I mean, the martyrdoms are partially... a blessing, of course. Martyrdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit, as well as a it can also be considered somewhat of a spiritual spanking. Not all of them. I'm just saying there are some that have embraced Catholicism, let's say, and don't know any better because they didn't search, they didn't do the work. But to the best of their ability, they love Jesus, and so the Muslims kill them. And if you look in the Old Testament as well as in the New, you'll see a lot of times when disobedience was running rampant through the church, the Lord allowed some people to die. It didn't necessarily mean they were going to hell. It's just that if you don't follow the Lord as his written word declares, well, you'll have to deal with certain things. And he doesn't look at death the way we look at death, of course. Everybody's going to get up again. Sad thing is, a lot of people are going to get up just to burn. So that's sad. But yeah, the thing I was talking about in the beginning of this in regards to some people having issue with this is, especially atheists, because they have a hard time believing that people could live that long. But if you trust the Word of God and you know who wrote it, you don't have any problem believing it. Years have always meant years in prophecy. Days, of course, have always meant, in prophecy, a day equals a year. But in blunt, you know, biblical statement, year meant year. And so these people did, in fact, live this long. And mankind knew about this, especially 2,000 years ago when, you know, certain things were penned in the New Testament, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially when it comes to homosexuality and that, you know, because they knew. And I kind of mentioned it in the sermon I put online around the video the other day. But because of disobedience, the pastors that lead the churches of today don't understand any of the prophetic symbols. They can't. I mean, that's it's been that way for thousands of years. I mean, when they are disobedient, the Lord prevents the prophets of the day from declaring certain things that are to happen to the people. All they tell them was, unless, of course, it's judgment coming upon them like when Jeremiah was speaking. But the main crux of their message would be to repent, as Jeremiah, of course, tried to get them to do. And in today, it's going to be no different. The prophetic word is not understood. And so the bulk of the message of today is to come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. Receive not of her plagues. You know, Revelation 18. And most people ignore it. But the other toss on this is the fact that science has recently reproven, and I say reproven because mankind knew this stuff, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John knew about what went down in Noah's day and why the flood hit. The last straw was, of course, legalization of homosexual marriage. That was the last straw. Jesus comments on it in Luke 17 and Matthew 24. And again, the apostles understood this. They had no problem understanding it, but the preachers today, forget about it, they couldn't understand it. I mean, I praise the Lord that the Lord has moved his students of prophecy to understand it decades ago to go out there and warn people about Rome's homosexual agenda, but no one wants to hear what we have to say. So, but the nice thing is the vindication of prophetic fulfillment, if you will, when it does happen, it does make the truth we preach that much more powerful in the eyes of those that are looking on. And so a lot of people have a tendency to join our number just because of the fact that they see both sides of the fence and they know where the Lord's blessing and they know where he's not. And so getting back to this long life here, I don't want to go into a long dissertation in regards to what science has already proven, which mankind knew thousands of years ago, but because of the dumbing down of the Christians, because of sheer disobedience, they can't understand the scriptures, and not just the prophetic word, but, you know, common sense stuff, or even doctrinal issues, like Sunday, Sabbath, they all fell for that one from 321 on, AD and on. Well, not all of them. We do have evidence that there were Sabbath keepers even during them years, all the way up to our time. There's a page on the website, in fact, all about that. But the thing here is, science using modern day techniques, and in today's world we have some pretty intense modern day techniques scientifically speaking, and that's just the stuff that we see in our own lives, you know, everything from the computers to the cell phones. We see some of the things, or the holograms, I mean, we see some of the things that we see, and we see technologies is pretty amazing. But those of you that are ex-military know, especially if you were higher rank in the military, you know the technology in society today is 20 years behind, sometimes 25 years behind what the military actually has. They don't let it get out until, you know, of course, there's a restructuring of the technology as well as money-making methods. What I'm getting at is modern-day science has already proven that mankind would have no problem living that length of time before the flood. Because before the flood, not only was it man's diet perfect, like it was in the Garden of Eden, ever since they started eating meat, even though it was clean and they took all the blood out, it still had a tendency to degrade the human immune system, if you will, and you aged a little quicker. But then when you take away the double density of the atmosphere because the Great Deep burst forth and it destroyed the firmament, which caused all that water to fall down from above, and yeah, there was water floating up there. That's why back then, and science just figured it out why it says in the Old Testament, I don't remember exactly the verse, but where it talks about the stars singing. Mankind could literally hear the radio signals, if you will. That's what they call them today. But back then, there was like a humming that you could hear from all the planets and the stars in the universe because of the water that wrapped around our planet like a shell. It would not only magnify the sound, as any little kid will tell you, that gets in one side of the swimming pool, and his brother's on the other side of the swimming pool whispering. You can hear him. No problem. Sound travels really good underwater. But the other thing is that not only did it magnify sound, it magnified the sky like a big magnifying glass, if you will. And so you could see the rings of Saturn with the naked eye. You could see the color of Mars. You know, you could see the spot on Jupiter. And you could also, and it was magnified colors as well. The sky was a lot bluer and stuff. And it wasn't black darkness at night either because of the, you know, the fiber optic issues in regards to, anybody that's messed with fiber optics knows you can bend it, put light source on one end, and even if you bend it or even tie it in a knot, the light source is going to come out the other end. Well, when the sunlight hits one side of the planet, the other side of the planet was going to get a pinkish hue. So it never got totally dark at night because there was never any clouds either until Noah's Day. And because the dew, the firm, you know, the great deep had a tendency to warm the soil because the water was hot thanks to the core of the earth. And then the dew would nourish everything that needed to be nourished in the ground. So all that put together, along with the perfect diet, which is what we're mostly touching on now, is all that put together made this planet like a hyperbaric chamber. It was just, and anybody that knows about, it's hyperbaric, right? It's not hyperbolic. Am I right? I get those two mixed up. It's kind of like Peter and Paul in scriptures. I get them mixed up. Okay, thanks, Marty. And so, yeah, so... And anybody that remembers a little girl in Texas that fell in that well with her, I think it was her right leg was all the way up alongside of her body. And so the circulation was cut off. So then when they finally got the little, I think it was like 5 days she was in that little well. It was just a tube pipe she fell in. Name was Jessica. Okay, thanks. When they got her out, her leg was black, you know, because of lack of circulation and, the doctors right away wanted to chop it off, you know, like they always do. This is all, we can't figure out how to fix this because they can't. They're relearning the medical industry as well because they put away the natural methods. So, well, somebody in the crowd happened to know about the hyperbaric chamber down the road in Glendale, Texas, that Dr. Carl Baugh had. And so they put, I don't know if they used his or if they put her in a one in a hospital. But after a few hours, the leg started pinking up, and then I think in a day or two, everything was pinked up except the baby, the pinky toe. The pinky toe was the only one that didn't go pink, and so they had to chop that one off because it wasn't. It was obviously atrophied and turning hard and stuff like that, so the circulation would not make it there anyway, you know. And so my point there is you're going to live a lot longer. The body is designed to heal itself. Anybody that's gotten scratched by a cat knows that, okay? You get that long line, and all of a sudden you get that long, thin scab. Why? Because, well, your body's healing itself. Well, that also puts into mind a very scary thought when you think about how Cain killed Abel. I mean, he had to lay into him pretty heavy to kill him because it wasn't easy to kill a man back then. And so... Yeah, but the diet is the main thing here because today people seem to think, and a lot of Sabbath keepers think, all right, I'll do the, you know, I won't eat the unclean foods, I'll eat the clean ones. And we had an issue a few years ago about a brother in Christ who I love and I hold dear and I still talk to every now and then, but I don't know if he's changed in regards to this particular issue, but some of the people, this was an early time in the church and we had some people in here that obviously weren't supposed to be here and they kind of hurt his heart, let's say. And So he left. But the issue there was they were trying to convince him in a very unchristlike manner in regards to eating meat. It's okay to eat the clean meats if you haven't been convicted as of yet. But today's world, you're not going to find any clean meat unless, of course, you got that cow roaming in your own lawn because of all the poisons and the toxins. And then, of course, the chemtrails. So unless you got a shield over your cow, what are you going to do there? So, and your lawn, because the rain is chem rain now. Most people that believe they should only eat the clean foods aren't taking the blood out. So now they're defiling their bodies, thinking everything's okay. But they got to get the blood out of that beef, too. And so that lowers, that actually adds all sorts of disease. I mean, it just goes off the chart there, and literally off the chart. I got a section in the People Get Ready book, as well as the very near the end sermon series, about how many tens of, there are so many different diseases now, and there's so many spinoffs to each disease that they can't keep track. They got to use a computer to keep track of all these different strains of how these diseases just, it's just amazing. So, but yeah, red meat is any, like the cow, or even the chicken. You got to make sure you get the blood out of the chicken, but most, 9 times out of 10, the chicken's not going to have any blood in it. And then if you're worried about it, just don't eat the dark meat part. You know, somehow, some way, when a chicken dies and they cut the head off, the heart has a tendency to pump all the blood out. Because that skin is so dense, I would imagine that the Lord just built it in that way to where it would cause all the blood to pump out. With the cows and any other red meat, you got to get that blood out. And that's one of the reasons I quit eating meat many, many, many years ago when I was still the sonny keeper at the time. And I decided, okay, let's just do the clean things. And my wife and I were talking about, her and I agreed, let's try it. And so I found a kosher market, but it was on the north side of Chicago. And even though if the north side of Chicago was to be put out here in the rural areas, like if it was out in, say it was just some farm 40 miles from me, I'd get there in 40 minutes. Well, in Chicago, it takes about 2.5-3 hours to go that far because of the lights and they don't have an expressway that goes over to that area and stuff. At least back in my day, Skokie, for anybody that, Skokie is a Jewish neighborhood. And I found this market and I went there. First of all, the cost of the steak was 3 times what it would ordinarily cost because he did all this work to get the blood out of it. And then he told me when I take it home, I had to put it in salt water, let it leach out the blood all night long. And in the morning, beat it with a tenderizer to get on a towel to get the rest of the blood out and then season it and cook it. And that tasted like shoe leather. It was useless. I says, first of all, you got to drive for hours just to get it. Cost 3 times the cost. And it cost 3 times the labor just to get it to your plate, and we just said, forget it. We just won't eat meat. Because it really doesn't taste that good without the blood, especially if you've been a meat eater as long as some of us were. Like I was, meat and potatoes guy, from growing up. And so praise God for that he got that out of our lives. But I can understand why he says don't have it with the blood in there, because the Bible's pretty clear that the blood is the life of the animal, and science just recently found things you can't kill in blood. And somebody liked to take that out of context and make it look kind of strange when the blood was dripping on the Ark of the Covenant and all that. But there's these little white, it looks like balls of light, that are in dried blood, and if you irrigate it, they'll come back to life. And it doesn't matter what kind of blood it is. It's in there, and so... And this may be one of the reasons cannibals have a tendency to get a little bit fevered and extra strength and strange, because they're eating the blood of their own race and they're putting those life, whatever those things are that are in the bloodstream. I don't know. I read an article on it years ago and it was pretty strange, but it was true. And they had microscopic video of these things that were dancing around, and I was just like, because one minute it's dried up blood, the next minute he put some saline solution in and all these things were dancing around. You can't kill them. Well, Christ, of course, can kill that at the end of the 1,000 years. So, question number 14. After the flood, what was added to man's diet? And this is more or less what I was just talking about in Genesis chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. It says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. As we all know, before the flood, our Lord gave men permission to eat animal food. In any way, and as is obvious in the Garden of Eden, the Creator's plan for man was that he would only eat that which grew from the soil of the earth and not that which roamed it. But now that every green thing had been destroyed by the flood, our Lord allowed Noah and his family to eat flesh of certain beasts he defined as being clean. And then, of course, after the vegetation came back, they were supposed to stop. But, they didn't. And so that diet just worked its way down. And you add that to the less dense atmosphere, and mankind just went from living over 900 years to maybe 90. But still, could you imagine if men like John Paul II were allowed to live 900 years? Or Hitler? Or even Attila the Hun, for that matter? Or Idi Amin? I remember him from the 1970s, the way they advertised him as he was cannibalistic and very, very evil man from Africa. Could you imagine him living to be 800-900 years old? I mean, it's bad enough what these guys can do in 20-30 years of their prime after getting into politics. Could you imagine what they would do for, centuries? So I can also see the wisdom behind that, allowing mankind's lifespan to be dramatically dropped because of the end result, well, because of what the end times would bring upon us all, So, anyway, see if we can do another one here. Number 15. What immediately happened to man's lifespan? Well, again, here's something else. See, when I do these studies, I do one or two questions, one a day. And I completely forgot. I forget what the previous question is about. And so a lot of these things are repetitive, but that's okay. Anyway, Genesis chapter 11, verses 10 to 11 says, these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, keep in mind that even after the flood waters subsided and all the green things of the earth returned, flesh eating continued. We know that. So compile that with the thinner atmosphere, as I mentioned a minute ago, and the lifespan of man is going to drop by hundreds of years. But before the flood, it was not uncommon for man, because we just went over this. Adam was 939, Seth 912, Enos 905, Cain 912, and so on and so forth. Noah himself, 950. So, however, his sons did not live as long. Noah was already over 500 years old before. But Genesis 11:10 says Shem was only 100 years old 2 years after the flood. And then it intimates in verse 11 that he lived another 500 after having Arphaxad as a son. So that puts him at a whopping 600 years of age. I tried to find out how old Ham and Japheth were at death, but I couldn't find it. I can no doubt dig into the genealogy of the scriptures to find this out. Yeah, anybody could do this, but living in the last days, I already know how short the lifespan of man has already become today, so I mean, it's nice to see the lineage and the genealogy and all that, but I don't need to know their lifespan. I already know. I don't have to be convinced. It's just like I don't need to see Jesus stand in front of me until the eastern sky splits, of course, because I know he exists. I don't need no evidence that he exists. I don't pray my prayers like, well, if you're really there, God, no. That would be like a babe in Christ would pray. And then his hand will move that one time, though, in a loving way. For some. Sometimes you already know he's there, and then when you make that, it's kind of like a mockery, and so you better be careful. So, anyway, today mankind not only eats clean and unclean meat daily, he also eats both with all the blood still in it, and this is why there are hundreds and thousands of strange diseases all over the earth, like I said a minute ago, and which was also prophesied for our day. Okay, I mean, everything lends itself to the way today's world is. So, okay, let's see here. Okay, this might be a little interesting. Number 16, after just a few generations, how long did men live? So we're jumping over here to Genesis 11 now, verse 32. Well, we were already in 11, I guess. And it says, in the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So she lived 205. Thanks to mankind's lust for blood in both war as well as the dinner plate, our life spans have dropped dramatically. And, you know, as we know, Methuselah was the longest. Could you imagine living 969 years old? I mean, we'll get to experience that, yeah, when we get home. But I in today's world, no thank you. You know, I really do appreciate the fact that, you know, we like if Jesus doesn't come in our generation, some of us are going to get to take a nap because it's going to get, you know, really, really bad. I mean, it's already bad. I mean, they've legalized homosexual marriage. I mean, it's bad enough that when they did that thing with the abortion or infanticide, you know, killing babies. Yeah, dress it up with a fancy word like abortion or same-sex marriage or even the word gay. It's homosexuality. They try to gild the lily as best they can. So, when the people, you know, getting back to this age thing, when they get that old today, like for example, I just looked up the oldest the other day. I did this, the oldest living person on Earth today, and it's some guy named I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. I think that looks like a girl's name. Geraldine Talley of Michigan, who is 150. Yeah, it's a woman. Okay, 115 years old. She won the title just days after a woman from Arkansas died at the age of 116, who herself only held the title a few days after a Japanese woman died at the age of 117. And by the way, when the people get that old today, they are nowhere near able to maintain a normal lifestyle. I mean, they are all crippled up, and it's not completely bedridden with, you know, if it's not just completely bedridden with no mental capacity to even know their own name, they're sometimes, like, because most of them, they're not just crippled physically, they're crippled mentally, and but for the most part, can't even walk across a room without a walker. And they are so pumped up with drugs most of the time, they're unable to have a normal, peace-filled day. It says in Deuteronomy 34:7, and Moses, check this out, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And do you also call Abraham's wife, who even though according to Genesis 18:11 was old and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, and yet she was still beautiful? To the point where Abraham had to lie and tell people that this was his sister so they wouldn't kill him and take his wife. In today's world, when a woman gets as old as Sarah was, it's not only decades past childbearing years, she's not known as one that can turn heads of men, correct? But what happened in Genesis 19? You know, he had to lie and say that it was his sister. So even if you do live past the age of 85 today, more often than not, it's not going to be anything like it was for Moses or Sarah thousands of years ago. Thanks to our diet and the dying planet we dwell on, we age rather quickly. But soon, we're all going to have youthful vigor once again, and that youthful strength of mind and body will be there for all eternity. And this nice thing is we won't bow to the flesh as we did here on earth. Our peace will be sure, and our Lord will be with us eternally. And one last thing, I checked online a list of oldest living persons in modern times, and I found that a woman named Jeannie Calmet was 122 years old, 122 years, 164 days old when she died in February, on February 21st, 1875 in France. And my son Luke came across a video a couple 3 weeks. We talked about this the other day. He came across a video a couple 3 weeks ago. And I put some videos online a while ago. And we put them in the room last week or 2 weeks ago. And one of them, we shouldn't have put the actual web address in there because, okay, granted, the woman's in her 80s and she looked like she's in her 40s because she's always eaten raw. She's still going to die before, you know, Methuselah's age. She's not going to make it past, I wouldn't think, 120, let's say. So she's still going to die. But the fact of the matter is, the woman's over 80. I think she was 82, and she looked like she was 40 because she ate all raw. And there was two other women, too, that I put on the website years ago. One of them was in her 70s, and she looked like she was in her 30s. I kid you not. I mean, she's just gorgeous, beautiful. Hair wasn't even turning gray or nothing. I mean, and nice lemon trim, you know, perfectly healthy because she ate all raw. But even today with the GMO, how good is that going to work out? So, anyway, hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.